Welcome along to the Dublin Arsenal Review Show. I'm your host, Jonathan Giles. On the show tonight, Sunday, the 8th of February, I'm joined by Gunner fans Carl Osborne, better known as Ozzy, and by David
Statement.
Sims, better known as Gore Guy, and by Black Hats fan James Pigg, to debate and analyse our 3-0 home victory over Sunderland at the Emirates Stadium yesterday afternoon. Brentford versus Arsenal will be live on TNT Sports this coming Thursday, February the 12th. Kick-off is at 8 p.m. So come join us in the River Bar, One Bourke Quay, Dublin City Centre. So sit back and enjoy this podcast. First things first, I know Carl and David will be gentlemen, so I'll introduce my away fan as he was on our show on Thursday for our previous show. James, how are you? And how are you feeling after yesterday?
Well, it's never good to see a team let three goals in and get beat. There were upsides to the game for us. We didn't look completely overwhelmed by Arsenal, but just the quality in that side and the quality of the substitutions you could make, the sort of play from Gyökeres and Trossard. And David, you were right. You predicted the score exactly
Sorry,
right.
mate. Sorry.
David
Sorry.
mightn't be a betting man, but Paddy Power last night paid out an Arsenal to win, so that's an Sbac thing. I'm also joined by David Sims from Costa Rica. How are you, David? Are you sunning yourself today?
I am. I'm so, and I've got a lovely, slightly green drink
Oh,
for
look
you this
at
afternoon, Jonathan. And
that.
it's got a hint of pineapple, so you can guess what it is. And yeah, and
Lovely.
once we've done this, I'm going to go around to a crazy local bar, and in Central America, the odd shaped NFL ball
Oh,
competition, the Super Bowl is on.
yeah.
So I'm going to go and have a few and try and see if I can understand a game that lasts 4 days. Do you know what I mean?
That sounds to be an incredible night. I forgot all about that, yeah. I'm also joined by the man who was there yesterday at the Emirates, as he was on Wednesday evening to, or Tuesday evening, sorry, to see Arsenal go to advance to the Carabao Cup final. Carl, Ozzy Osbourne, another show back. Carl, how are you? And welcome back along.
All good, mate. All good. Fresh. Literally got back from London today. I've been down to Wembley today, just checking it out before we go there in a couple of weeks. But found my parking spot anyway. That's at least. But it was to see Starlight Express, if anyone wants to know. But yeah, that's what I saw this afternoon with my kids. But they loved it. But checking out Wembley, checking out Box Park. It's all ready for the Super Bowl. That is, it's all geared up for that. So it looks like some people got some good times down in London today.
Yeah, hopefully, come March the 21st, I'm saying, with the Cup, Carabao Cup on 22nd, Carl Osborne will have at least 3 tickets for us to go over. Your work begins now, Carl. I'd also like to give a shout to the Dublin Arsenal Supporters Club. We're doing a special Stanley Arsenal giveaway on Valentine's weekend. There'll be three different Stanley mugs to give away there. Competition will run in the FA Cup week of the Wigan Athletic fixture, which is next Sunday. More info on our social channels. Martin Stoneville, who edits this, will stick all the relevant info on that. So please do have a look. Open to yourselves as well, and who knows, you might be in. You could have the love of your life with a Dublin Arsenal Stanley mug. What else could you want? And now David's gunning for that for his pineapple drink there. To our match review from yesterday, Arsenal 3, Sunderland 0. Martin Zubimendi got the opener for the Gunners, and Victor Gyökeres got a double. Line up for the Gunners: Ryan Goal, Timber, Saliba, Gabriel Calafiori at the back, Madueke, Rice, Zubimendi, and Trossard in midfield, and Jesus and Havertz up front. Substitutes used were Piero Incapié, Eberechi Eze, Gabriel Martinelli, Victor Gyökeres, of course, and Christian Nørgaard. Stats wise, 52% to Arsenal, 48% to Sunderland. Five on target for ourselves, two for the Black Cats. Corners, 5-2, exactly similar. And 11 fouls from the Gunners to Sunderland's 8. Six off Victor Gyökeres's 8 Premier League goals for Arsenal this season have come against promoted sides. Two against Sunderland, three against Leeds, and one against Burnley. Victor has now scored 6 goals in his last 8 games in all competitions, so he's finally found his Gordon boots there. Since the turn of the year, Victor Gyökeres has scored more goals in all competitions than any other Premier League player with 6. After yesterday's win, Arsenal extended their lead to 9 points at the top of the table, their biggest margin this season, of course, being cut to six with Manchester City's late comeback against Liverpool at Anfield. Liverpool went 1-0 up, Szoboszlai got sent off, and Erling Haaland, of course, got the winning penalty. The last time we were 9 points clear, as Kelly Cate said, match of the day last night, we went on to win the Premier League title in 2003-04. Paddy Power paid out. I knew this was too early to do because this title race is not over. Sunderland are winless in their last eight away Premier League matches, drew three, lost five, conceding exactly 3 goals in each of their last 3 games on the road. Next fixtures coming up, of course, is Brentford away, which will be another tough game. Brentford doing really well and chasing European football. I say Thomas Frank is kicking himself leaving that position last summer. That's at 8 o'clock on Thursday, and Sunderland have another easy fixture, this time at home, 8:15 against Liverpool. If City can beat them, James, Sunderland can certainly do that as well. Since we're all gents here and all gunners, I'm going to come to James Pigg himself. What was your take and analysis of the Sunderland performance from yesterday, James?
I was actually really happy with the performance, and as much as obviously we lost 3-0, there's nothing you can take away. That first goal made a big difference to the game, and it was a stunning, incredible little goal, and you just can't argue when you concede one like that. But I thought until then we'd been giving you some problems, and we'd forced at least one save out of Raya, who I think was excellent. Everything that went into the box that was looking like it might be trouble for Arsenal, Reyes snuffed it out. He was very, very good. Might have spilled the ball once, but in general, he really killed everything that we were trying to do in the box. And it's in general, I was pleased with our performance. It looked really good to me, and I was really surprised when the stat came up that we'd only had 34% possession or something in the early stages. It looked like more than that to me, but in any event, we weren't being overwhelmed, and I thought we looked good for sort of that battling 1-1 draw that I suggested might be the result. But it wasn't to be. And I, at the conclusion, I was in Rick's bar, and I remember David, you were lauding Rick's bar, and you're telling everyone what a great pub it is, but you didn't tell anyone the name of it, which he was
No,
very unhappy about.
I
So I
know it
want
was.
everyone to know it's the Willoughby Arms in Kingston-on-Thames. Great pub, proper man cave of a pub where you can see any sport you like, in a fabulous place. But
On Willoughby
on
Road in
Willoughby Road,
Kingston, Rick, and Rick is an
exactly.
amazing man. Yeah, and if you go there, he might even buy you a drink if you turn up and you've watched this podcast. Did I say that? Oh, sorry, Rick.
Oh, I'm not sure he authorized that, but never mind.
Look, if there isn't a free drink on the house for anyone that watches the show, there's something wrong with society.
But in any event, there I was in the Willoughby, an Arsenal pub, surrounded by Arsenal fans, and they were all absolute gentlemen because it was obvious who I was supporting. And I had to say at the end, you guys absolutely look like champions. There's no question in my mind that you'll go on and take the title at this point. It was a fantastic performance by Arsenal, ultimately.
I know when an away fan says that, we're doomed. I'd just like to get your take as well, James, on the yellow card that Brian Brobbey received for the foul on Zubimendi. In your opinion, when you look back on it, and when the replay slowed down, it even looks worse. Do you think that might have even warranted a red card, in your opinion?
Certainly, a few people around me thought so. I'm not sure it merited a red card, and obviously, it was subjected to the VAR review, which, as one of the blokes in the pub said, only went to prove that the referee hates Arsenal. But I would say that's not an accurate assessment. It was a nasty sort of stud, sort of tackle. But I don't think it was intentional. I don't think it was malicious necessarily. And it was a forwards tackle. So I think yellow card was a fair outcome for that. And Brobbey himself was fouled multiple times without any sort of foul being given. But that seems to be one of the dilemmas we have in the side is that Brobbey draws lots of attention from defenders. Is very strong, very difficult to deal with. So he does get grappled with a lot. But he doesn't seem to be given very many free kicks on the back of it. And it seems almost as if the referees are thinking, well, he's giving as good as he gets. so we're not going to give the foul. So yeah, that can be a bit frustrating at times.
Yeah, he's quite unlucky as well because Davy Rea fumbled across, and he was put under pressure by Dan Ballard, and Robbie was quite unlucky not to score from the rebound when it was cleared off the line. Do you feel as well, before I move on to Carl and Davis, James, do you feel Granit Xhaka was a big loss in midfield for yourselves?
Yeah, you can't. How is not having Granit Xhaka in the side not going to
It
be a
shows
big
how
loss? Yeah.
well he's done in that side when a Sunderland fan comes out and says that he's huge to any team, isn't he, in the centre of the park?
He was definitely lost. But having said that, we weren't running around like headless chickens. We were pretty convincing even without him. It would have been great to see what we could have done with him in the side. Yeah.
Yeah, you could see him on the bench yesterday. He was itching to get out, wasn't he? He's one of those players that wants to play in all those big games.
Yeah.
Yeah, but now look,
Yeah, for which side, Jonathan, did he want to come on and play
first
for?
half for Sunderland, second half for the Arsenal, because he knows we're going to
Yeah,
win the second
exactly.
half. He's a
Exactly.
glory hunter like ourselves.
It was a lovely moment when he met up with Arteta at the end, and they had a hug and had a little chat or whatever. I mean, it was like a father and son. It was beautiful to
I
watch.
say,
Really,
Granit
really good.
says, "What were you thinking of sending me, knowing you're going to win the quadruple?" Certainly, Granit, you had your chance. You can say fuck off to the fans now again. Carl was certainly not saying that yesterday. I think he was drinking the 0-0 Guinness. But your take on yesterday's match performance, Ozzy, with yourself being at the Emirates, there's nothing like quite beats being there. And also your opinion on the form of Victor Gyökeres. He's been mentioned quite a lot on this podcast over the last few weeks, but I think at long last he's starting to find his shooting boots now, isn't he?
He said he had a better game. He said he had a better game. You can't argue with two goals from a centre forward. He was there in the right place, right time. He slipped on that first one, didn't he? And still managed to put the ball in the back of the net. The other goal was pretty much, made by Martinelli. What a break that was. I'll go back to the sort of the feeling at the Emirates. I've got to be honest. When that team news was announced, it's a very uneasy feeling. I sort of I'll sit in block one, but I do hang around block five concourse with as a few of us from the Guns and Yellow Ribbons podcast, and that I'll hang around with as well. And there's normally a real good atmosphere, a good pre-match. Certainly Saturday 3 o'clock, there's normally a good atmosphere around it. It felt quite uneasy. And when the team was announced, there's a lot of people talking about Jesus starting and yeah, it just felt a bit flat. I think a bit of nerves, and I think that does translate to the pitch. It felt like that. It felt a bit flat. But James made some very good points about how Sunderland approached the game. It was really refreshing to see someone come and play against us. We've how many times this season we've been there and seen the teams play a low block. They had a game plan. They did, they tried to hit us on the break. I thought, but they had a go. And I really, it made for a really good game, and fair play to Sunderland. They had a game plan, and they're very physical. And it's really interesting what you mentioned about that sort of Robbie, the challenge and his physicality, the duel. Because I sit in the West Stand and I get a pretty good central view of the pitch, but the duel between Saliba and Robbie was. Now you only see what the camera's picking up, right? But they were going at each other for that whole game. They were really, it was really well when Robbie was on it. There was a real good battle there. It was a proper, they were fighting off the ball. It was great, you know what? And I got a lot of respect for Robbie because not many people can do that to
Yeah,
Saliba. But
try and upset me, yeah.
he absolutely rattled him. So
Yeah.
kudos for them for that. I think that was really, really good. But yeah, look, the bottom line is all Gyökeres can do score goals, right? He's had a lot of and I'll hand on heart say I've had my doubts about him. I sort of run out of patience, but he's sticking the ball in the back of the net and let's just, he got player of the month for January
Yeah,
in
it's
terms
a
of the
huge
official.
turnaround, isn't it? Yeah, huge
So you
turnaround.
know what? He's if he carries on doing this for the rest of the season, it was great. I thought it's interesting seeing the selection. And we talked about selection about Jesus starting, but seeing Kai Havertz play that midfield, although he wasn't massively affected, I think, from the people I've spoken to who watch it on TV, but he's just his presence, his physical presence. And I think about the game, having Marino out with the team, I think seeing Havertz's physical presence in that midfield is really going to it's real good timing that he's come back, you know, it, just
Yeah,
his
100%.
link up play. I think, yeah, I thought his link up play was great, but I just have to say, like, you know, ever before he goes over to Dave, I think the way Declan Rice played, and I know we go on about this all the time on the pod I listen to, but the way Declan Rice played, honestly, he was absolutely phenomenal, and he ran his socks off from the first whistle to the last. Again, let's say, but you know, he was absolutely fantastic, and he really shone for me. Proper leader on the pitch, performance, and yeah, but look, all in all, Sunderland, they came and give it a go, and yeah, we you know, yeah, we delivered, got the 3 points, and that's all we can keep doing, right? That's all we can keep doing. Let's forget about the noise of all the other games going on, Man City, Liverpool. Let's forget about it. Forget about it. Let's just concentrate on what we're doing, win the games in front of us, and just, as Eamon would say, I'll say it on for him, but treble 20, treble 20, treble 20.
Yeah.
You know, you just got to keep playing. You
You
just got to
just
keep going,
have
beat who's in front of you, and keep going for it. Let's forget the noise, what's going on elsewhere. It's not about them this season, it's about us.
I'd like to get your take as well before I come to David, Karen, on Martin Zubimendi's goal. When I looked at it first time, sadly, I was working yesterday and I could only watch it from the highlight side of things on Match of the Day. But the goal he scored that went in off the post, when you look at it first, you say Roof should have kind of done better. But when you look at the replay, it's like a snooker ball just going in off the pocket. It was just beautiful. He knew exactly what he was doing. He just got that perfect strike that he knew it was only going off the post. How good was it in the stadium yesterday, Ozzy?
Look, using Eamon's analogy with the darts, mate, it was like Luke Littler putting a bullseye in. He couldn't have hit that any more sweeter. It was straight in the bullseye. Yeah, the keeper had no chance for that. Like, literally, the pace of it as well, right? I know you see these slow-mos of it, but the pace it went in. Yeah, he's got a goal in him, isn't he? Yeah, well, you know, we laugh it up, but we call him David Hillier. We make a lot of reference. That's what we keep calling him in block one. But yeah, he's a great player, Zubimendi, and he took a lot of stick for his mistake, didn't he, against United? But
Yeah,
cracking, cracking performance. So Mr. Consistent, normally, you know, everyone has a mistake in them, don't they? But he's a
it's been
solid
a
player, isn't
cracking first season, hasn't it, for Zubimendi?
Ah, oh,
Really
brilliant.
quality, isn't he? I think since the turn of the year, we're starting to see him chipping in with goals as well now for his all-round performance. It's just, you know, you can see why he didn't go to Liverpool. He wants to win trophies. I
Nice
don't.
touch on his celebration to Mourinho
Yeah, it
as well,
wasn't.
didn't
Yeah,
it?
I like the
Yeah.
celebration, the little jump in the air and the fist pump. Yeah, I like that. David, a great result yesterday. All we can do, as Carl says, is win against what's in front of you. What was your take on yesterday's performance, professional?
Well, I mean, I thought we were patient, professional.
Yeah.
The tactics, match tactics, were fantastic. The use of the bench. We learned a lot more about Arsenal than we normally do because of what Arteta did yesterday, which was quite interesting. It's obvious now that Madueke came off after 60 minutes dead to be replaced. So obviously Saka's not back for a while. So we've all got to realise that because he brought him off. But then obviously look at the bench, and we talked about this unbelievable bench, you know, and we go back to the whole point of what we said in the preview show, James, was that when we had the 2-2 with you, we didn't have Madueke, Odegaard, Havertz, Jesus, Martinelli, or Gyökeres. And they all played yesterday, bar Odegaard. And I think that was the difference as well, what we were able to bring off the bench and rotate within the team. Talking about Zubimendi or dangerous curves approach, as I call it, you know, when you're driving along and you see these signs, it says danger, curve approaching. I mean, basically, that is him, isn't it? He is literally this. That ball was just curving. It was like a hairpin. Amazing. And yeah, I mean, and also to come back from that challenge on him, which you've discussed, you know, and that was very mirrored to what Romero had done just
Yeah,
earlier in the
exactly.
day and got a red card and was off.
Right
I
on.
really thought, you know, really thought if that's happened, then surely that's a red. But no, check the shirt. It says Arsenal.
Yeah.
It's not a red card. But I thought Gabriel was immense again. Gyökeres. Now, you and I, Jonathan, we've rinsed this guy over the last 6 weeks. He came on half an hour. He played his best half an hour of football in an Arsenal shirt. All I can say to his teammates is, and Havertz and him already are starting to click. Havertz in that game, even though he didn't do much, but when he was on the ball, he was like a cheat code, right? Because he is just makes things look so simple. And we need him in that team, and he really makes a difference. He raises everybody else's game. But, he will give the ball to Gyökeres. Martinelli started to give the ball to Gyökeres. He gets given the ball, and he's literally, Gyökeres in himself has just gone, do you know what? Fuck it. I'm strong. I'm going to use my strength, and I'm going to score. Right? He's sort of been living in his shell a little bit, I think, over the last few last it, before Christmas. And he's really, I mean, obviously his new girlfriend, thank you. New girlfriend has obviously really helped. We talked about that. As soon as he got his new girlfriend, he started scoring.
Sorry, David, just
I've
to cut
got,
across you there. He might have a new girlfriend, but he's in the competition for the Dublin Arsenal Stanley mug. I think maybe that's more the case.
Well, as we know, Gyökeres and Arteta watch this podcast. So, well done, guys. You're doing well, but you won't be getting that mug. Just get that right. I've got a couple of things I want to say about a couple of other players. One, Eze, get rid of the gloves, mate. You don't need gloves. I don't care how cold it is. No one else is wearing gloves. Take the gloves off, right? I don't know what you're wearing gloves for. You only came on as a sub. You were on the bench. You were cold. Whether you forgot to take them off, I don't know. But just lose the gloves. We've gone past the Arsenal snood, the Shamak bloody head thing. We've lost, but we're not
We
doing
have
that
got
anymore,
past
right?
that.
We're not doing that anymore. Little bit concerned about Trossard, 89 being taken off, slight niggle. There was a lot of chatting between him and Arteta and the bench, and what is his problem? So watch this space. We do need this depth of players. We can't, we lost Mourinho. We can't be losing another player of such key importance. I thought Raya was outstanding. However, he did have a fumble after 7 minutes, which made me think a little bit. I thought Havertz again, first 23 seconds could have scored. That was just was amazing. Just to talk about Rick and the Willoughby again, I was talking about free drinks. There is a free drink there, but it's usually Everclear, which is a type of white liqueur rum that they give away in Texas. If he offers you it, don't drink it. And finally, Declan Rice, I mean, half price, my God, we got him at an absolute steal. He is, if I was writing down the starting 11 of Arsenal, I'd put his name first right in the middle of the piece of paper and then just build it either side. To me, he's the heart, he's the soul, he is the beating general of Arsenal on the pitch, without a doubt. And Gabriel was the captain in that game, but I think they should have given it to Rice. And I think post World Cup, as we go into next year, he is the captain of Arsenal, and I'm really looking forward to the day that he walks out wearing that captain badge, because to me, he is captain of the Arsenal football team.
Absolutely, absolutely. Ballon
Congratulations.
d'Or material, I was saying on Saturday, and I'm not even kidding.
Well, yeah, I mean,
Not even
let's get,
kidding. Not even
yeah,
kidding.
Ozzy, I agree with you, but let's get there first. Just to finish up as well about the general performance, I felt that we were I totally, yeah, we can only beat who's in front of us, but we got up the gears on Saturday. We showed a little bit more of what we can do once Gyökeres came on, and we really started to play. Not full tilt, but we were playing. And obviously, 9 points ahead, which flatters the deceive, because always the weekend's not finished, right? So all these people, they get excited because it was 9 points. The weekend wasn't finished, and now the weekend is finished. And it's 6 points. But just to take you back to Christmas, when you're all wrapping your presents and running around buying your turkeys, we were 2 points ahead, right? And then when we got into late January, which wasn't that long ago, we were only 4 points ahead. And now it's coming up to Valentine's Day, and we're 6 points ahead. Let the dust settle. Let's see where we're going, right? We haven't gone down. We've increased over the last 2 months, right? So no one wins it in February, no one loses it in February, and there is a long way, 13 games to go, right? And we just got to stick in there and just keep winning and keep performing. This is the most important thing. Keep performing our game. And I don't care about anybody else. I really don't. I'm not expecting favors, and I know we won't be given favors. But if any Arsenal fan listening or watching this podcast has been living on the moon for the last few years, you'll realize that we are going to have to win this. We aren't going to be given it, right? So just buckle up. It's a roller coaster, and there's a long way to go.
Yeah, 100%, David. Well said. Yeah.
Well said. Well said.
James, in terms of the three goals yesterday, were they preventable? In your opinion, could Robin Roos have done any better? And toward one, Ronaldo could have probably headed it, headed away. You know, he kind of hesitated. But in terms of the first two goals, were they preventable in your opinion? Yeah.
Well, sometimes you just got to accept, like I say, the first goal in particular, that was an absolute killer. And
Yeah.
I think maybe no, he wasn't really given a lot of time and space, was he? It was a great goal. And it's once that went in, and to tell the truth, even at 2-0 down, I still felt like we had something, we had some hope that we might still be able to pull something back. But obviously, once you get to 3-0, and then again, that was we got carved open for the third goal, and that was the one that was, by then we were quite late in the game, weren't we? And you'd used your subs bench to great effect, as you've mentioned earlier on. Declan Rice had a fantastic game, but the subs did very well. The lad with the gloves on made some very good runs at us and opened us up. So yeah, the first two goals were very, very good goals. Nothing that Roos could have done about them for sure. You mentioned earlier on that maybe he could have done better, but that first goal, no, he didn't have a prayer.
When
He
you
was at full
look at his
stretch.
first time on the telly, you'd say, oh, he could have got, but it was perfectly positioned to from Zubimendi, wasn't it? You just couldn't get nearly yet when it's
Roos did exactly the right thing, but he was at full stretch and he couldn't quite get there. I do think that 3-0 doesn't entirely reflect the sort of game.
No, I don't think so. No,
I
I
think
agree.
it flatters Arsenal a little bit,
Yeah.
but I have to accept what the result is, and there we are. We've won every game that we've played after a defeat for the last few sort of defeats we've had, so I hope we manage to beat Liverpool and keep that going, or at least
Yeah.
keep our unbeaten home record.
We'll all be Sunderland fans come Wednesday night. Don't worry about that, James. In your opinion, after watching yesterday's performance, but as a whole, where can you see Sunderland finishing come the end of the season? Do you think you could be in around your Europa Conference League places, or would you be happy with mid-table finish?
Well, it depends how low the Europa Conference League's
Yeah,
finish
go.
places
Yeah,
come,
that's true.
because
Yeah,
they could be
it could
quite
be
it could
quite
be
low.
seventh place could potentially have that, couldn't it? But I think 8th place, 7th place. I mean, 7th place is the best I've ever seen. When Pete Reid was in charge, he gave us 2 seasons where we came 7th in the Premier League, and that's the best I've ever known. I think we could do that again this year. I think we could, and I think that would be a fantastic achievement for a newly promoted side, especially when you think about the way we got promoted and the road to that promotion, and how we were, I don't know how many points behind Burnley, for instance.
It was quite incredible. Yeah.
So I'm confident that we can definitely get more out of this season. We're safe. I'm hoping that we'll have an FA Cup run. I've
Yeah.
actually replicated my dad's bets in the third round. I thought,
Did
once
you?
we, yeah, I've put some money on for us to win the FA Cup, having won the third round, and
See you
let's
in
see
the
how that goes.
final. See you in the
See you in
final,
the
James.
there will
We'll
be a
go
cracking
together.
final, wouldn't it?
We'll go together.
Yeah, that would be great. But again, some positives from the game. I think we played really well. It's the best performance we've had in London for a while, and we just couldn't live with the opposition this time around. Nilson Angelo, who came on, I was very pleased to see him get tossed into the fray, and he looked good. So yeah, with him in the side, and with like I say, once Granit comes back and we've got sort of now some depth in the squad again, I think we can finish the season strongly now. We've been through a really tough Christmas period when the African Cup of Nations deprived us of, I think we had 5 of our players missing on AFCON duties at one point. So, we're in a good position. We're safe. We can throw some effort into the cup for the first time. I've never said that as a fan. I can't remember the last time I said, don't worry about the league. Let's see if we can have a good cup run. I've always said, screw the cup. We need to try and get out of League One, or get out of the Championship, or stay in the Premiership.
Can I
So,
say, James, Dan Ballard was great as well.
yeah, he
He
was.
stood out. He stood out, and I know I'm not just calling this out because he's ex-Arsenal, but he was generally he was he stood out. I thought you got a great player there, haven't you?
Absolutely.
Played heart and sleeve. Talk of the sort of leadership. I thought he was great. I know he wasn't captain on the day, but he was great, I thought.
But I think that was one of the moments Raya frustrated me because the ball was bouncing around a bit and Dan Ballard was in the box. And I thought, this is it. Ballard's going to put
Yeah, I remember that
Raya
bit.
snuffled it out. And yeah, I thought, this is your moment, Dan. Get
This is
in
your
there.
moment.
Yeah.
This is for the chance of a summer signing, but certainly not. Carl, do you feel come April when we play Man City at the Etihad? I'm hoping it'd be near enough to being wrapped up, but there's still a long way to go. Do you feel that that's the match where, we beat City and that's it, in your opinion? Do
Hoping there's a
you
bit of
think it will go?
distance
Do you think
between.
it will go to that game, in your opinion?
I'm hoping there's a bit of distance between us and City when we go to there. Just my blood pressure alone, I think. But yeah, I think look, you don't know, do we?
It's a tough one to
We just
call,
got
isn't it?
let's just beat the people in front of us right now, and then see what that looks like before we play them. I think I'd like us to get a bit of distance between them, but we just Brentford is the next game. That's what we should be looking at, and just treat it one game at a time. And yeah, I'm not going to comment that far ahead. We've been here before, Charles, haven't we? So
We've done this and we got hammered 4-1 by City. I remember two or three days.
exactly, yeah.
We
So let's just
we
focus.
were
We are a
planning
different side this season.
the only bus parade I was doing was going back home when we had our legs. David, do you feel that come April against Manchester City, do you feel that be the game where you'd love to go to the Etihad and beat them, but do you feel we could have a 6-point gap before we go to there?
I'll be honest with you, you're missing the elephant in the room here, and he's not sitting in the tree. Caribou Cup final, that is the game, right?
Yeah.
That
Do you
is the
feel
game,
that's
right?
the game where we put down a marker to Man City?
That's the game. That's the game. Because as we said in the podcast last week, the week before, and the week before that, as we were coming through and after the Chelsea game, we've got a chance to win a trophy, this young team. You saw what it meant to the players to get through to the final. The spirit for us to win that and win a trophy will be amazing. How the club will grow and the players will grow from that. It won't mean anything on the in, into the Premier League, but it will help us greatly to have done City. Now, I'm sure both managers are, they know they're not going to be showing their full hand that day. They know what's going on. But we've still got quite a lot of games before that game to come. So we don't know what the league's going to look like by then, right? But all I say is I think that's the next crucial moment. We've had crucial moments, recently, us losing to United, Liverpool losing to City, all these little moments. To me, the next crucial one is the Champions League coming back. We've got that just before that. Man City have got the Champions League. We've got it just before that final. That's when it's going to really start to get interesting, is when that final week, the week before that final, we've got Everton, Champions League at home, then Wembley. I was about to say at home at Wembley because that'll annoy all the Man City
It is
fans
our
because they've got to
second home
come.
after all,
They've
yeah.
got it. They've got it. They've got to all travel down from wherever they are. I don't know where they're coming
And I
from.
hope they
And where do
cancel all
Man
the trains home.
City fans come from? They don't come from
Yeah, they
Manchester because
don't.
no one goes there. Wherever they come from,
Sports
whatever
Direct.
rock, yeah, whatever rock they crawl out of underneath, yeah. So it'd be interesting. But listen, April, middle of April, that's spring. Some spring. The daffodils will be out. We're a long way from that. We're a long way from that, guys. Think about it. Just look out the window if you're in the UK. Here,
I
it's
tell you, over
different.
the last 6 or 6.5 weeks, it's been nothing but rain. It certainly is from summer, but nothing will dampen my spirit seeing Arsenal top of the league. That's made a good winter for me. And there's still tough games still to come in February. Brentford on Thursday, Wolves away, Spurs away. So these with 13 games to go. These are 13 cup finals, really, when you're top of the league, aren't they? And you just have to tick one off after another. Yeah, all we can do is beat what's in front of us and let's not worry about who's behind us. Yeah. Your man of the match, James, from a Sunderland point of view from Saturday.
Robbie, yeah, Brian
Robbie,
Robbie.
really impressive. Okay. Davis, your man of the match for the Gunners.
Going to give it to Gyökeres for the first time in ages.
Yeah, he's not being slated for the change. Victor, your tide has turned. You're no longer compared to that man, Nicolas Pepe. Carl, he's our Nicolas Pepe. How are you? You're a man of the match from Saturday.
It's got Declan Rice. I've already called it out, haven't I? Yeah, I'm not going to change on that. Just again, a hell of a performance. Yeah, loved
Phenomenal.
watching it.
Yeah. He's where he was playing for Arsenal all his career, wouldn't you? The way that passion,
Oh,
that raw
totally.
passion he has when he enters the
Yeah.
field. And you can see it just galvanizes the whole team, you know, when he's pumped up, everyone's pumped up, you know. And that's, hands down, man of the match for Declan Rice for me as well. I'd like to thank my away supporter, James Pigg. Thanks for coming on our preview and
Great
review
to meet you, mate.
shows. Pleasure having you on, and best of luck for the rest of the season. I hope you do Liverpool on Wednesday. Big shout out and thanks to Carl Ozzie Osborne, the return of the Mac. He's back again, two in a row. Kai Havertz, do not get injured again. I can't replace him again. And thank you to David Scoreguy Sims. You enjoy the NFL.